if we're talking about a pivot, I mean, if we just think about what that word, even the definition of that word means, you are holding still on a point and then turning. And so there does have to be kind of a point and a through line to what you're currently doing if it's truly a pivot.
Hello, and welcome to Wind Down, Build Up, the podcast giving you the tea and the tools to succeed in business. I'm Tabitha Solomon.
And I'm KJ Miller. Today on the show, we are discussing how to successfully pivot.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think we've kind of latched on to this idea where you have to persevere with an idea if you're super passionate about it at all costs. And for some people, that's years and years of like pushing an idea that will never work, right? Or it's just ahead of its time. And so I love the fact that we're talking about pivots because sometimes there's a time and place when a pivot is actually required.
Absolutely. And what I think is so important is, you know, it doesn't mean that you are walking away or you are giving up. It means you're being smart. And really, it means you're being a business person. You know, a business person doesn't blindly chase an idea. A business person follows opportunity. And I think that's what pivots are all about. So I do think this is going to be a good topic.
Nice. Okay. With that, for our tea for the week, I was thinking we could use some real life scenarios of companies that had to make massive pivots in their business model and actually came up on top. So I'll kick off with one of my favorite brands, one that I actually used to work for. So it's kind of funny because I didn't know this story. So let me know, KJ, if you'd heard their origin story, but it's YouTube. So YouTube initially started out where they wanted to be a video-based dating service where folks could essentially upload short videos of them describing their ideal partner. I want my husband to be at least 6 feet and make this much amount of money and live in a city and have 2 kids and a white fence. And it turned out that, people didn't want that. People didn't want that. Their whole slogan was also tune in, hook up. Funny. It was like video Tinder. And what they actually found was there was a much wider audience of people who were like, I just like the idea of like having online video content to look at as like a fun activity. And they actually pivoted. And as we all now know, they were acquired by Google for $65 billion.
Yeah.
So it's crazy because if they would have stuck with this idea that wasn't working, you know, I don't know that we would be talking about them right now, or they would be essentially one of the go-to default apps in everyone's phones.
Yeah. And I think what's so great about this example is, you know, it was a video service that was launched. They were focused on creating videos to help people connect, which I think YouTube still does, but they had it in one niche, this like romantic niche and sort of almost like a dating app in that way. But when they sort of broadened their horizon and said like more broadly, well, what could we do if everyone could make a video about everything, you know, then all of a sudden it caught on like wildfire. And it did become this really attractive business. So again, it wasn't about them throwing in their hats. It was about them broadening their horizon and following opportunity, which I think is so important.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I think what you just said is actually brilliant, right? A pivot is not giving up. A pivot is pursuing the opportunity. So sometimes that means adding more features. So in this case, broadening the niche. Sometimes it means reducing the features. As a lot of you guys might know, the Instagram story, they started off trying to do a ton of different stuff and they realized people were just using the photo feature and the filters, and they killed off all the rest of the filters. And as you know, we now know it is written in the history book, they were acquired by Facebook for $1 billion. And so that's exactly right. It's not walking away, it's pursuing the opportunity.
Yeah. You know, another example I love is Groupon, because this is another one I didn't realize that when Groupon started, they were all about getting basically people would get together to rally behind social and charitable causes. So like, you know, me and maybe I get 20 of my best friends or 100 of my Facebook friends all to get on board with a charity that I've chosen so that we can make a more sizable donation. And that's great. And it did fairly well when it launched in Chicago. You know, people liked making their voice and their dollar go farther. But they actually launched sort of as a subdomain. They launched this product where people could pool their money just to negotiate a group discount. So it wasn't so much about being charitable. It was just like, look, if we all get together, instead of paying $50 for this meal, we can pay $30, you know? And that was the thing that took off like wildfire, because who doesn't love a discount? And I just remember, I don't know if you remember the Groupon, like when Groupon was fresh out and in its heyday, I feel like I had a Groupon for everything. Every dinner I went to, I was pulling out my Groupon. I was planning hikes, and you know I'm not a hiker. I was doing this, that, and the third just because I had a Groupon. And, you know, and they were incredibly, incredibly popular.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think the interesting part of this pivot is like listening to your customers, right? So in this example, the customer's like, yeah, I think the social piece is cool, but like, I want a discount, you know? Right. And instead of saying, well, that's not what we're here for. What we're here for is social and charitable causes. They're like, well, if our customers want discounts, let's give them discounts, right? Yeah. And they pursued the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Another one that I'm a big, big fan of is actually Shopify. So Shopify, I mean, if you're following their stock, they're crushing it right now during the pandemic, because a lot of people, whether they're laid off or just have extra time, have decided, hey, I'm going to start a side hustle and sell, you know, maybe a product that I've been doing as a hobby or something of that sort. So they're crushing it. But their origin story is really interesting. And actually a really good friend of mine, someone I go to for advice from time to time, his name is Elliot Robinson, and he's a partner, venture capitalist in Silicon Valley for Besserman Ventures. And he actually, when he was living in Toronto, Canada, where Shopify was actually founded, was an early investor. So I always think that's such a cool story when he shares that. So I'm like, okay, that was brilliant. But Shopify, so he loves to tell this story, by the way, because he's like, let me tell you a story about this company I invested in. It turned out to be a $1 billion company. But Shopify, you know, the founder, he actually wanted to sell online snowboarding equipment called Snow Devil. And so this was in 2004. 16 years ago. So it's, you have to almost take yourself back to what was it like to build a website in 2004. Right. And you essentially had to build everything from the ground up. There was no plug and play, drag and drop options like we have today. It was literally a nightmare. And so it was cost prohibitive and very difficult for people, if they wanted to sell products direct to consumer, to do so because of this one piece. The time, the money, and the skill required was just such a hurdle. And so while he was essentially trying to build this online store, Snow Devil, he realized all the e-commerce products in the market suck. And why don't I build one? And so he decided to pivot from essentially Snow Devil to building Shopify, which would be a tool for anyone who's building an e-commerce store. So I love this because it was like he had one vision and he found a pain point for him along the journey of building this business and realized, wait a second, there's a much larger opportunity here that would solve a much greater problem for the entire ecosystem of fellow entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So brilliant. And I think like so cool that they noticed this problem that they saw for themselves because they were trying to build their own site. It's so cool of them to think like, actually everyone has this problem. And that's not even just a business opportunity, but also, I mean, it's also like just a way to help other entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's we run our site on Shopify. Yeah. I'm so grateful, you know, that we have this tool that we can use so that not everything has to be custom built, because to your point, that's so expensive. So yeah, I think that's such a cool pivot story.
Yeah. So that goes to say that pivoting is not the end of your
Yeah.
business. For a lot of people, that is the start. That is the start of building something great. So let's talk about what is pivoting. I think there's these myths around what a pivot is. And then let's have a discussion about like when is the right time to pivot. And when you are pivoting, and I think a lot of people are thinking about this now in the era of COVID, how to do so
Yep,
effectively.
absolutely.
So, pivots. Well, I'll kick off with a few here. And I think some of these kind of emerge in our examples from the T portion of our conversation. But one is actually like a feature, like essentially finding one feature that's like crushing it instead of like the entire product. We talked about the IG example. That is a pivot. So if IG was offering you in the very beginning, trying to get you to sell things on their products and try to do stories and the time, everything it is today, it would have been overwhelming because you wouldn't know where to start. So a pivot can say like, you know what, we're going to like, instead of having like these 15 features, if you find that 80% of people are spending their time posting photos, let's get rid of the 14 features that are a distraction and essentially taking away from a lot of our resources, and let's zone in on the one that people actually care about. That is a pivot, like focusing in on one feature versus all of the features. Another pivot is the exact opposite, where you can start off with one feature and you're like, this is really not enough to solve people's problems. We need to create a platform that allows people to do more things. I think you shared a good example with, I think it was Groupon, if I'm not mistaken, where, oh no, it was YouTube that was in our T portion, where they start off with just dating. They're like, wait a second, this is too narrow. Why limit it to just dating? Like, this is an opportunity to be broader, and that's a pivot. Essentially, all videos can be hosted and shared on our
Yeah.
website.
I think one important thing to note about a pivot versus just kind of like changing businesses, which I have seen people successfully do as well. But I think a
Oh,
pivot
yeah.
does have a through line to your current business. There's some data
Yes.
that you've learned or some
That's
piece of
right.
information you've picked up via the business you've launched, but essentially it's taking what you've learned from the current business and using it successfully in a different
So
business. And I
good.
think that's important to note just because, if what you're realizing in your business is that like none of it's working, you don't have product market fit, and you don't have product market fit to the extent that you can't even like pick up on insights, then what you might need to do is just shut down the
Shut
business, right?
down.
And like,
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I
You're
think it's
absolutely
important
right.
to call that out because I've seen so many people kind of like bang their head against a wall trying to, fit a square peg into a round hole for so long. It's like the reason this isn't working is because the customer isn't there for your product, and because the customer's not there, you can't even glean any insights as to what will or won't work or how to change it. So you need to just hang it up on this and kind of go back to the drawing board. And that's perfectly fine to do too. I know we're talking about pivoting, but I just want to contrast it to the scenario where maybe there isn't a readily available pivot. That doesn't mean you have to hang up your entrepreneurial hat forever. It just might mean like this business isn't the business. And even though you might not have learned things about this specific customer or this specific product or this specific market that you can then pivot, you've learned a lot about yourself as an entrepreneur, and you've learned a lot about your, the team maybe that you put together that didn't work, but like you've still learned, and those learnings are still going to help you moving forward. So I think that's important to call out
Absolutely.
because I do think if we're talking about a pivot, I mean, if we just think about what that word, even the definition of that word means, you are holding still on a point and then turning. And so there does have to be kind of a point and a through line to what you're currently doing if it's truly a pivot.
That's so good. And thanks for, taking a step back there, because we got to like all align on what is this thing called a pivot, right? And so it's not a completely different business. It's a shift to a new strategy. You're absolutely right. And so when we're talking about finding a feature and expanding, or taking a product and refining it to one feature, that is taking, like KJ said, taking something that's core or auxiliary to your business and expanding or contracting. It is not going out and doing something completely different.
And actually, that is not a pivot. Point, I mean, I would consider what you're doing with Dash Camp to be a pivot. But I think someone could, if they just, if they knew very little, except for Party Dash was selling party supplies and Dash Camp is teaching, you know, young kids after school, they might think to themselves, that is two completely different businesses. But I, you know, I mean, I clearly, I know a little bit more, a little bit more behind the scenes, but do you consider it a pivot? And if so, like, why does it count as a pivot for you?
Yeah, so two things. One is Party Dash is still, you know, very much alive and well, and we're still selling products. So there's that. But to your point, the customers are exactly the same. We are targeting the same age group, the same demographic, the same customer. And so we have a community of a couple thousands of parents who were coming to us for other social events. And with Dash Camp, it is very much a edutainment company where it's all about social, right? And so they come to, you know, our preschool activities, our summer camps, our after school program, and it's for that social interaction. And guess what? Now people are booking us for their kids' birthday parties. So it's like, it almost feels like one of those things where, you know, the same customer, we identify what, you know, it kind of reminds me of the example you shared with Groupon. We started off selling party supplies and, you know, like when the pandemic hit, it's like, okay, well, what customers are asking for is something to entertain their kids, you know, another way for them to remain social when they're stuck at home. And so same customer, adjusting our products and features to meet the needs, but it's been a little bit full circle where now people are coming to us like for more services. They're like, hey, we love that magician that came to our kids' summer camp. Anyway, we can book them. We're like, actually, you can book them right here. And we give them a link where they can actually book that. And it's like, oh, by the way, we have a premier package where you can actually buy party supplies. So it's kind of wild how, like, because we've started with one customer and we've used that data, that information, our positioning on like being like the social company, it feels more like a pivot than a complete, like, hey, we're now going to go sell like alcohol to restaurants, you know, in, like, in the Middle East.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's, I love that you're diving into it because I want our listeners to have a real life, real time example of someone who pivoted around her customer, which is something I think you've done so beautifully, which is you looked at what your customer needed in the moment. You didn't say, okay, I'm done with the party supplies, but you said like right now, let me focus on what she's telling me she needs. And what she needs is a way to entertain and educate her kid. I'm going to give her that. And then, by the way, I've still got my party supply company. And now, you know, now I've got a customer for both. But I think I think it was a really beautiful pivot. And it's almost like when like Amazon went from selling books to like they made the Kindle. And it's like they just added on. People still buy physical books from Amazon. I know a lot of people who still buy plenty of physical books from Amazon. But for the person who said, like, you know what? I'm tired of just buying all these books. Like, having my house is filled with books, you know? Like, I want to download quickly. Like, I think it's about what you did was you added a service to your company, which I think was really important and your customer needed. So I think it's really good to just have that kind of real-time example.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a pivot can also be like you have the same product, but it needs to go to a different customer, you know. So there are some companies, for instance, I'm talking to a company tomorrow, and they were focused on direct-to-consumer when they launched, and they realized that's not working, and now they're going enterprise. And they're getting a lot more traction, you know, like they've had to tweak some of the features that are offered to the enterprise customer, But by going that path, they're able to like close much larger deals. It's a longer sales cycle, but when they sign a contract, it's reoccurring, it's steady, and it's much larger, and it's working for them. So it could also be the same product, different customer.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, how do you know when it's time to pivot?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the signs I've noticed is when your company is always playing catch up. So if there's a behemoth in your industry, I'll be vulnerable here. And just what we're thinking about a lot in our business is we launched Dash Camp, summer camp, and we were one of the first to do it, one of the best to do it, and it exploded. And the thing is, other companies like Walmart, Airbnb, Apple all announced like a month or two later after we launched, oh, we're launching our own virtual summer camp, you know? And we were like, oh shit. Like, I'm going to guess we cannot compete with Apple, you know? And so I think that if we were in a business where summer camps was a thing all year round, we would really have to consider if like we want to compete against Apple, right? Like we're not going to win that battle. And it would always be a game of catch up because they have the technology, the customer base, the infrastructure, the know-how in a way that we're exceptional at content creation and marketing, but like they have all those other things in place. So if summer camp was a thing year round, we would seriously have to consider pivoting because we would always be essentially trying to chase behind them or try to pick up the scraps instead of figuring out another way, like, again, another product or feature to differentiate ourselves and essentially try to, like, position ourselves different in the market. So if you're always playing catch up or there's, like, a formidable player who comes into your space, you might want to consider a pivot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good really good point on, you know, and I think you can feel it when you're always chasing, you know, you're never setting the trend. You're always chasing the trend. You can feel that when that's where you've gotten to in your business. So I think that's a really good point. I think another sign that it might be time to pivot, is when there's just one piece of your business or one product or one feature that's getting the most traction. You know, and I think when you're getting sort of outsized attention for just one piece of your business, it probably is time to pivot. So I think about, I spoke to an entrepreneur a few weeks ago who had a direct-to-consumer business, super, super high fashion business. And it was fine, you know, it was fine, but it wasn't booming. It was sort of just existing, not thriving, surviving. But then separately, she had started taking on clients and running their operations because she had a really great operations business, great warehouse and 3PL experience. And she had started doing that. And even though she only had a couple clients, I'm looking at that business and I'm looking at the monthly revenue for that business. And I'm like, so this is
that's your business. You know?
and I just told her, and I don't think she's made that pivot yet, but I straight up told her because the reason we were talking was because she wanted my advice on raising venture capital. And I said, look, I think if you want to raise venture capital, they're not going to have a whole lot of reason to invest in this fashion business because it's not growing very quickly. It doesn't look investable. It doesn't look like you figured out a way to get the investor their money back. I was like, but this business over here looks very investable. Yeah. This looks like you found clients and you have a pipeline of potential clients. And if you can sign them up, like there's way more revenue per month per client. I'm like, this looks investable. I was like, so if it were me, that's what I would pitch. And I think she, you know, the first business, that's her baby. And the second thing was kind of like a side hustle. And so I think it can be difficult to hear something like that when you have a business that does feel like this is my baby. This is what I love. Like, this is why I got into it. But sometimes you have to be just super, you know, business focused. And as far as I could tell, it was time for a pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what I'll add to that is like, it's a time for a pivot when you're getting little to no response from the market that you're going after. you know? So in the example with the fashion, if you've been at it and you've tried different marketing schemes, different marketing channels, different marketing communication, like messaging, and it's not catching on, it's not because you don't have a great product or that, you know, it just may mean that that's not the business you need to go after for one reason or another. So you've been doing that for 6 months, a year, and again, like you're just not seeing the growth you want to see. It might be time to pivot because you're not solving customers' need, you know? Like, and sometimes with fashion, the need is just like a brand, you know, like or the need is like a certain fit for my body type, or the, you know, like a need is like it has a different technique. Like one of my friends, she started a dress line that has a wick in the underarm because in the summertime, like she works in the field for sales and she's sweating all the time. And she's like, I don't want to go smelly. Like she's solving a problem, you know? So if you can't like have a brand or solve a need, and I think that's a great example. Like it sounds like she has a brilliant business that she's building on the side. Go where the market is asking for your product. Stop trying to push it on people. Go where they're pulling for more.
Absolutely, completely agree. Well, I will say another thing that, you know, I think is a sign that it's time to pivot is that your own personal perspective has changed. And, you know, maybe what was once important to you no longer is, or you've realized, you know, I built this thing up because when I built it, I believed X, but now, this many years later, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, like my beliefs have changed. And so I want to pivot the business to be more aligned with what I think, you know, is truly my North Star at this point. And, you know, I think sometimes you just have to respect that about yourself so that you can continue to respect your daily life and your daily job, you know?
That one is such a hard one, right? Because again, and we were talking about this at the top of this conversation, we're told you just never stop, you know, you keep going. But I think that statement is incomplete, you know, like never stop and what, like no matter what. And it's like never stop no matter what. But I'm like, what if you like are starting to hate life? You know, like, what if you figured out there's a much more lucrative path that you can take? You know, what if you found like your true calling and purpose in life and it's different than what you thought, you know? And so I think that that statement, never quit, is a bit unfair because it doesn't take into account all these scenarios. And like, you're right, like, your perspective just changing overall and having to be true to who you are and what you've learned during this growth of life. Yeah. So then the question is, okay, like I've realized, KJ, Tabitha, I'm that person who like am trying to push something instead of going where I'm pulling, or this is just not working. I probably do need to pivot. Let's talk a little bit how you would pivot effectively. For me, and if you don't mind, I'll jump in because, you know, we talked about Party Dash and the pivot we're having and experiencing with Dash Camp. When we saw the pandemic, so people ask me all the time, how the hell did you build a brand new company in 3 months? You know, because like it feels that way. Like pivots can feel like a, you know, like depending on how large a pivot is, it can just feel like a pretty big undertaking. And so for us, luckily, we had the customer base already built in. And so it was like a change in the like the product offering. But one of the things I tell people is like, once you realize it's time to pivot, do it fast. You know how people say like fail fast, you know, and break things. I would say the same thing, pivot, like pivot fast. So for us, it was literally we found out about the pandemic in February. In March, there were already reports coming out that the party supply industry had dipped by 55%. And it was one of the top 15 industries to experience a dip, which makes sense, right? Like people are told you cannot party, you cannot, you're supposed to be socially distancing, you're not supposed to be in groups of more than 10 to 15. And we don't know when you can go back to resuming the norm, right? We were hearing forecasts of like 2021, 2022. And for us, we're like, okay, if that's the case, let's do this fast. You know, in a couple months, we had Dash Camp up. So once you realize that, like, whether it's market conditions, macroeconomics, or you've been going along for a while and it's just not working, once you've come to that decision, make that pivot as fast as you can.
I think that's right. And, you know, I think one important thing is to very early on align on what your goals are with the pivot, you know, so don't just change course and then sort of like scramble and hope for the best. You know, like, oh, let's see how it goes. You know, no, set yourself goals. Mm-hmm. If you're going to say, I was once focused on all of these features, but now I'm just going to focus on this one, then you should be setting yourself real metrics, real KPIs, real goals, so that, you know, you have a destination in mind, as opposed to just sort of like, all right, we've pivoted and like, now we're hoping for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, how are you going to know if you're successful if you don't have clear goals and targets? You know, like, was this pivot the right decision? Is this the right pivot? Because turns out most companies, well, 90% of companies just fail in general, right? But the ones who realize, okay, this is not working and pivot, oftentimes they'll do more than one pivot before they figure out the right product market fit. Right. And so if you don't have goals and targets set to know, like, okay, is this working or is this not working? How can you know if this is the right business move or is another pivot required to get to where you're ultimately trying to go on this business journey? Absolutely. And another one I'll add here, and I think this kind of piggybacks off what KJ was saying, is like a pivot is not a complete change in business model, right? It's not like you're selling cupcakes and then now you're like, I'm going to pivot and sell gas at a gasoline. That's not a pivot. That's a completely different business. And so that means that if it's a pivot, don't scrap some of the incredible work that you've done. You know, so like we use a lot of our brand identity work that's been done. You know, we were using all the same communication channel, not all, but a lot of the communication, like software and email lists and all that good stuff. Like, you know, like salvage what you can when you're doing a pivot and reuse it in any direction. So you're ultimately saving time, effort, and money for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. And another thing I will say, and I guess this isn't technically a pivot, but there are a lot of things that Amanda and I, along the way on this journey of Minted, a lot of things that we said we would do in a certain time period that we ended up pivoting from. And so while we have not undergone what I would call a business pivot, we always set out to sell beauty products with a focus on women of color. And that's still what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. We have pivoted a lot along the journey from things that we said we would do. And I think you can't be afraid to do that either. You know, so little about what your plans are written in stone. And like I said at the beginning, business is about following opportunity. So I remember early on, our very early pitch decks, we used to say, you know, we were going to go into retail, you know, like year one. And in fact, I think our P&L, our forecast P&L had like a retail line on it and said like, you know, a quarter of our revenue was going to come from retail. We didn't go into retail until this year. We're in our fourth year in business. So, but that was conscious.
By the way, can I just say congratulations on Minted getting sold in Target?
Thank you.
That's a really big deal. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. We launched with Target in September and we launched on HSN back in January. These are two big retail accounts for us. And, you know, this is something we said again, we said in our pitch decks, we said to investors, you know, retail is going to be so important. We're going to do it year one. But then as we thought about it, as we talked about it, we realized one, we didn't want to give up the control you have to give up when you go into retail. And two, operationally, we didn't feel ready. You know, we wanted to be the arbiters of our story for as long as possible so that by the time we got to retail, people were familiar with our brand and understood who we were and what we stood for. We could negotiate better margins, you know, things like that. And that was really important to us. So no, it's not a full-on pivot, but I say it to say you can't be afraid to back down from something that, even if it was something that at one point you felt really staunchly about, you can't be afraid to like pivot from that, you know?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you know what that made me think is, I wonder for you how much of like where you went had to do with your customers, you know, because if I'll give you an example. I was thinking about, you know, no, I'm not going to call my friend out. So I'll just use a more general example. You know, like I can imagine there being a world where like someone's dream, maybe they're in cosmetics also, their dream is like, I really want to be in Lord and Taylor. But like, if that's like one of your goals, but your customers aren't there, your customers are watching HSN, your customers are shopping at Target. Like, I love Target. I just go there for fun. You know what I mean? And same. I'm like your Target customer, you know? So if you're like that customer, if you're as a business person, like, oh, I want to be like this brand that's associated with Lord and Taylor, but your customers are Target, I think that you need to pivot your direction there and go to where your 100%. Customers are going. Or asking you,
and by the way, not only do you need to go where your customer is, but you need to do it in the face of other people trying to tell you where your customer is. Yeah, I would just say it's not only important to know where your customer is and to follow your customer's lead, but it's also important to be willing to say no to people who try to dictate to you where your customer is. So we've had plenty of people come to us, investors come to us and say, this is where you need to be. You need to partner with this celebrity. You need to go into this retail channel, whatever it is. And Amanda and I have had to say no on many occasions because we are the experts in our business and in our brand and in our customer. And you have to be willing to be that expert and sometimes fight on your customer's behalf and say, no, this doesn't make sense for her. So I'm not going to do that. You know, so we've certainly been in that position as well.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. You know, at the end of the day, business is having the right product at the right time in front of your right customers, you know? And so like, again, that example, like putting your stuff in Lord and Taylor may not be the right thing because your customers aren't there. So ultimately, you know your customer better than anyone else. So not only are you your customer, but you have tons of data to support and fight on her behalf. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that brings us to the tail end of our conversation where, you know, it's all about pivots and knowing what is a pivot, how to pivot, when to pivot. And I'm really hoping that our listeners, you know, if you're a business owner or even if you work at a corporation and you're like pushing a project, an idea forward, and you feel like it's just not the right idea because of X, Y, and Z reasons, that you feel empowered to pivot and make the right decisions on behalf of you, your employees, and your customers.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I really hope you guys got something from this, and I know I certainly did.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Well, that's it for this week. Look, guys, if you are loving this show, please stop right now and subscribe. Please subscribe, tell a friend about us, and make sure to give us a 5-star rating if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts.
Absolutely. And if you ever want to drop us a line, if you have a topic you want to hear more about, or you're interested in sponsorship, just send us an email at winddownbuildup@gmail.com. We'll talk to you guys next week. Cheers.